WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome in to the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. It's been a little while since we last recorded an episode. I've been going through a lot of things, been busy here on the Hill, Syracuse men's lacrosse. It's hit a little bit of a rough patch. A couple losses to some ACC squads, Notre Dame, North Carolina, to end the regular season and then end their ACC championship bid back-to-back. Not successful. Shout out to Lars Tiffany in Virginia on getting that. Big deal for Virginia. They haven't won the title since like 2017 something. It was in that realm. So good for Coach Tiffany. You know, maybe we'll have him on if Virginia Syracuse square off in the NCAA tournament. You know, never know. But good on them. Syracuse. They just haven't really been playing too well, Josh. And you know, I don't really want to talk about the weather because it's been disappointing me as of late. It's supposed to be May and like 70 degrees outside, but that is not happening. Yeah,
it's still like 40s, 50s. Like it still doesn't feel like May yet. You just said it right there. I mean, I'm home now, so it's feels a little bit warmer here. But I'm ready for the 65, 70 degrees. It's just not here yet.
Yeah, I am too. I think it's interesting. We're recording this Sunday night. This probably get posted Monday morning at some point. Syracuse just got announced selection show. They'll be playing Yale in the Dome at 5 on Sunday, a week from, I guess, today or a little less than a week, whenever you're watching this. Yale team they haven't played was on the bubble with Maryland, Duke, and Harvard. Maryland and Harvard not making it. Duke slides in. What do you take away from what the selection committee did? And you know, did Syracuse get screwed a little bit? Virginia jumped to 5.
No, I have no issues as a Syracuse fan. I did not want to play Army, so you avoid Army, and I think Yale is. Yale's an interesting matchup, right? Like they looked really strong at points this year. They have some really great wins and they have some really great losses. I mean, right away you can just look at the fact that they played Princeton a hell of a lot closer than Syracuse did. And you can look at the fact that they beat up on a Harvard team that Syracuse lost to. So I think there's obviously a lot to look at here. But I will say I think Yale is gonna fall prone to this. They have to go play Syracuse in the JMA Wireless Dome, which I don't think there's a single team in the country that wants to do that. Sure, it'd be a great win. Sure, you get to go and beat Syracuse, but they haven't lost at home this year. So I think for Yale, they're the ones that kind of get screwed here. They kind of draw the short end of the stick. And I know they were an at-large. They obviously lost in the first round of the Ivy League tournament to the eventual champion in Princeton. But I mean, I think if you're a Syracuse fan, you are really happy with this because Army's rolling. They've won like 10 straight games. They absolutely dismantled Loyola today. And I think that was kind of the other one that was in consideration. Obviously, UAlbany could have came here as well. But I think if you're Syracuse, you have to be really happy with this matchup.
I think the first round is definitely something that you can't be mad about. You look at the rest of Syracuse's side of the bracket, they definitely got the tougher side, I would say. Syracuse wins, they would play most likely North Carolina, who
Yeah.
obviously Syracuse has lost to twice. It's hard to beat a team twice. It's even
It's
harder
hard
to
to,
beat a team 3 times in a season. So, maybe Syracuse has that on the side. But then even on the same side, you got Notre Dame, Hopkins, and Cornell, all really good teams.
I don't know. I don't know about you. I mean, first of all, I think it's great that the committee gave Princeton the one seed. I think they were deserving of that. They put a beating on Cornell today.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, every conference championship game today was just an absolute blowout. A Lars squad beat North Carolina by 10 goals. Princeton beat Cornell by 10 goals. So I think maybe I'm alone here, but I think Princeton is the one seed, and I think they're the best team in the country. I was at the game when they played Notre Dame at Arlotta Stadium. I thought they matched up well against Notre Dame. I think Sean Light had a great second half against Joey Spallina, but I mean, we just saw the Millen brothers for the second time this year make Notre Dame look not so gigantic. So I think Notre Dame is definitely vulnerable. I think obviously you have to take this one game at a time, right? UNC is probably the first hurdle because they've looked not like themselves at all both times they've played UNC. So if you're looking bigger picture though, obviously you're going to have to probably run the table and beat the top three teams in the country, if you're going to win the national championship, which this team is capable of doing. However, in those 4 games against the top three teams, Griffin, they're 0-4. So a lot needs to change.
Yeah, a couple of those things. Let's look back at that North Carolina game and Notre Dame game. The first half of North Carolina, rather, in the ACC tournament, John Mullen kind of looked like he was himself. Like he
He
was
made Brady
winning.
Wambach look
Yeah.
silly for the first couple minutes, for the first like 10. I think he won 6 of the first 8 or 7 of the first 10 faceoffs.
And then, Wambach scored two goals
Yeah,
and
by
kind of
himself.
dominated the second half. So it was an up and down game for Mullen, but he went 50% against Wambach. Like, that's about all you could ask for. McCool looked decent in the ACC tournament. He kind of always likes to play there. Obviously, he won MVP honors last year, had 9 saves and 12 goals allowed. Obviously, that fourth quarter against Notre Dame was nothing to be excited for. I still don't really like the flow of the offense. So the attack is not really clicking. You thought, Joey had a quick 4 points in both that Notre Dame game and the North Carolina game. He
Yeah.
was playing well early, and then I don't know if there was a chance adjustments made defensively or just he slowed down, but it seemed like this offense is not been as good as it has, like as good as we've seen it, as
Yeah.
good as it could be in the last like month or so.
I know. I don't know what the story is, 'cause I feel like at the start of the UNC game, it was like the offense was, I think both offenses were taking time to kind of get settled in. I thought the pull play on the Syracuse side was really good. I mean, Dom Petrimala basically beat the Orange by himself the first time. He had 5 goals in that game. Jordan Beck did a phenomenal job. I don't think Petrimala had a shot until the second or third quarter, and he finished with only 1 goal. So there was obviously some major improvements defensively, but then the offense, once again, like it's really stagnant. They score like 1 goal in the first 20 minutes of the game, and they get going a little bit for that spurt in the second quarter, but then they just go extinct in the second half again. It's very inconsistent. I don't know if, like you said, if there's some adjustments being made, but it just feels like they don't play together at a certain point in the game. They just get frustrated, and instead of, trying to go back to what worked, it feels like it's time to start fights instead.
Yeah, that's been something that's really made me unhappy. Is any time they have adversity or face adversity and then end up losing the game, the first thought is, okay, how can we just, knock the socks off the other team and literally, not metaphorically, which is how it should be. I think Billy Dwan has not played his best lacrosse the last couple of weeks. There was a point last game where he slid when he shouldn't have and left a guy right open in front of Cage. And McCool is it's gonna have a hard time stopping a point blank shot, literally right outside the crease. The man up unit hasn't been as good as it should be. The
No, they were
man
pretty
de
bad. They were 0 for 4 against UNC. I don't think they scored, and they had some chances.
Yeah, Craig Elijah Brown might have had one, but it wasn't. It might have been right after the penalty expired. Either way, Syracuse has not played a full 60 minutes in April or May so far, and it'll be interesting to see. You know, this is a team that the expectations still, no matter how bad they struggle, are NCAA championship, and
Or
I don't think
bust.
that's changed. Yeah, I agree. Even if they struggle, that's where this team should play. So I think that's that. Syracuse will play Yale in the Dome, 5 p.m. on Sunday.
I believe
McCurdy
that's the
Molly.
last. Oh no, I think the Virginia game is the last game that day. That's right.
Yeah. So McCurdy Molly kind of face F at 4:30. Double overtime up until 8:30. Should be a fun day of lacrosse. You thought there would
I
be
thought.
some more Dome
I
action, and
thought.
I thought as well too. I was shocked. If you were following this whole selection show fiasco on Twitter, the brackets got leaked on the NCAA website, or not the brackets, the games, I should say,
Like everything.
both on the men's and women's side. And one thing you noticed, Syracuse's game hadn't really been shown, but every team that was listed 1 through 8 and is hosting the first and the second round were. And Syracuse was not listed as a top 8 seed, meaning they were not hosting on the women's side. I was shocked.
I'm shocked. I
Like,
thought
this
for
is a team
sure we were going to get another home game.
that went on a 13-game winning streak, or a
They lost
12-game
what,
winning
four
streak.
games?
They went
Five games?
13
They
and
lost five
5.
games. I was looking at some of the teams, like Colorado's hosting. I know they have to kind of make geographical decisions.
But come on.
Really? And honestly, not even just Syracuse. Stanford also isn't hosting. If you wanted a West Coast host like Colorado is, Stanford wasn't up there. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like there could have been a little bit more. I thought they kind of botched some of the seedings here.
Syracuse beat Virginia. That was last week, in the ACC tournament. First round, lost to North Carolina in the quarterfinals for that one, maybe the semis. So interesting,
It
you
was the
know,
semi. It
ACC.
was the semis,
Yeah, the
and then
semis.
UNC beat Stanford. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, Syracuse had a not a rocky end to the season, but a little bit of some bumps along the road. They will play Loyola, Maryland in Annapolis, Maryland, where Navy is the 8 seed. So Syracuse, the 9. Essentially, their first team out of hosting, I believe.
Yes.
So that will be Friday at 7 p.m. It's interesting when you think about it. Like, when I look at this bracket, I know I said Syracuse on the men's side has a difficult road to the championship weekend, I would say.
Yeah.
I think this women's team has probably the easiest road.
I would agree. I would 100% agree.
So actually, Navy's the 6 seed, so they're not even the 9 seed. Florida would be the 9 seed on the
Yeah.
women's side.
Which.
You know, you can argue about that all you want, but if Syracuse beats Loyola Maryland, they would play the winner of UMass, who went 15-2 in Navy. And then, like, it's Maryland's the 3 seed who beat Syracuse, but I haven't looked great this season. That was in the opener for Syracuse. So, you know, a lot has changed. Practically two different teams since last time they've played each other. You know, Maryland, very, very good. Lost to Northwestern in the championship of the Big Ten tournament. Their only other losses coming against Northwestern again and Michigan. So they're a good team, but I think Syracuse has the potential to get back to championship weekend for the first time in a couple of years with this group. The key, as always, with the squad is just can the offense show up?
Yeah, it's a tough ask. I mean, I feel like that is gonna what it is gonna be what holds them back. But on the other hand, they do get to play their own style of lacrosse, basically whoever they play outside of UNC. I mean, this was pretty unreal, what UNC did. I mean, 19 goals. Yeah, outside of what we saw from UNC, I mean, Syracuse has really been able to play their style of lacrosse all season long. Like they haven't even been really like they've been able to control the game by themselves. So I think that alone, kind of, they're in kind of a unique category in the fact that they do get to do that. Because I mean, very few teams have such a strict defensive identity that Syracuse has. And so, yeah, I think that right there, you look at that absolutely will be the reason that they are considered a competitor in the bracket this year. I think, I mean, that alone, the defense wins championships. And you hear that all the time, them in games. And it's great that they get, hopefully, to rematch Maryland. Because there was some unfinished business. They played, I thought, better than Maryland did. They outshot them almost 2-1 in that game. Just couldn't get a big save or a big goal when they needed it. They just were a little too late in that game, and that'll be a fun one, of course, if we get to see that.
Syracuse played Loyola Maryland earlier in the season, their first win actually to start that
Yeah.
long streak, 15-7 back in February. So it should be an interesting one. We can give some tournament predictions, I guess, now,
Yeah.
both on the men's and women's side. I'll let you start. Let's go
Here we go.
women's first.
Women's first. So, whether they play, is it Thursday, Saturday?
No, Friday, Sunday.
Friday, Sunday. Okay. So, I think they'll win the bracket. I thought they should have hosted, so I think they'll win this region. I think they really won't have any problems with Loyola, I don't think. I think we've seen that earlier in the year. They're a more talented team. I think Loyola is a good team, but I think they'll take that one. And then I think they'll beat Navy in overtime. This is a Navy team that is well coached and is 18-1. Obviously, don't play in the ACC, so a little bit tougher to gauge there. But I think for me, I think it'd be a disappointment. Not just because of what we've seen the potential of this team to be, but I think it'd be a disappointment if they don't win this bracket. I think they're the most talented team in it. And so I think they'll probably 3-goal win over Loyola, and then I think they'll win in overtime over Navy.
Funny enough, Navy's lone loss is to Loyola
Oh.
in the Patriot League. So maybe that comes into play and Loyola beats Syracuse and beats Navy. Who knows? I would say Syracuse gets both wins. Now the question, do they go past that? I'm not really sure. I think it wouldn't surprise me if they lose to Maryland in the quarterfinals. I think that will be my prediction for the women's side. I just don't think they could compete offensively with some of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, to win it all, they're gonna have to beat North Carolina,
Yeah.
or they're probably go it's probably gonna have to be North Carolina. Can anyone do that? I mean, we saw Northwestern do earlier in the year, but can anyone actually beat the North Carolina team when they need to? That is gonna
Probably
be
not.
so tough.
Yeah. I wouldn't think it. And Syracuse would have to beat North Carolina in the semifinals. So, who knows,
But
Northwestern?
if they did that,
I honestly,
if they did that in the semis, then you could say, okay, yeah, this team could. They might
well,
have what it
yeah.
takes.
I find it kind of surprising that Northwestern didn't get the 2 seed in North
Yeah, I did
Carolina.
too.
Even though Northwestern beat North Carolina, they have 3 losses. North Carolina only has one to Northwestern. So interesting there. On the men's side, obviously they play Yale. I'll let you go first again, Josh. Where do you have this team going?
So we'll just go with this weekend because there'll be a week off in between games.
Sure.
I think much more talented, much more to prove, and they're playing in front of their home crowd. So I think this is, like I said, tough draw for Yale. They haven't beat Syracuse since 1963. So I mean, Yale obviously a ton, but they played Syracuse close a couple of years or in 2017. They played them close. I think that was also either a first or second round NCAA tournament game. I think it was a first round NCAA tournament game in 2017. They played them close, but just for me, I can't pick against the fact that this is could be the final. Obviously, it's the final stretch, but this is the final time for this class to play inside the JMA Wireless Dome. And if you think Joey Spallina and his classmates are going to lose inside of the dome for their final game, there's no way. So I think Syracuse gets a 14-10 win here. Maybe a big game out of Mullen because we saw him come to life last year down the stretch of the ACC tournament and or the ACC championship and the NCAA tournament. He was very vital to the reason that Syracuse was at championship weekend last year. So I'm really looking for a big game out of Mullen here. But yeah, I think they'll win 14-10.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're gonna win big. I think I'll go 16-9.
Yeah, I like that.
I think they're this team, they do one thing right, and it's play in the dome undefeated this year, in front of their home fans. I think they'll go out strong in front of the dome crowd. After that, they'll play on Long Island. So, Joey's gonna play on Long Island in front of those fans, really proud, and I think they'll get a win there as well. Who knows though? Who knows? But wouldn't be surprised. This is the last hurrah for these guys. How far they actually go, not sure.
Yeah.
I think it'll be on the play of Mullen and McCool primarily. If the offense doesn't click, then obviously they won't win and be successful. It'll all depend on the first couple possessions. Syracuse's first couple possessions against North Carolina, awful. Awful. They luckily found their way to get back in it. But when you have a couple turnovers in that first quarter to start the game, it says something. And Syracuse's passing has been sloppy, to say the least, early in games. I guess I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Any other things you want to hit on? Not much basketball news, football news. Syracuse actually did just pick up a three-star running back from the state of New York. Some places actually have him as a four-star. Xavier Bala, from Baldwin, New York, not Baldwinsville, but Baldwin. Went to St. Anthony's High School. I think that's in the city or on Long Island, somewhere downstate.
Yeah.
So. Good pickups. Coach Fran, he's emphasized on recruiting close to home, and Syracuse gets a guy that had offers from Ohio State and Alabama. I don't think they were necessarily in the mix, but I think Wake Forest and some other ACC and Power Conference schools were in there. So good for Coach Fran there. It's been kind of a quieter offseason, definitely than
Yeah.
last. Obviously Calvin Russell out for the season. They picked him up in June, maybe July, somewhere over the summer. So who knows? We could get some big news later on. So make sure to tune in to the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Any last words, Josh, or
Oh, excited. I think this is obviously we say natty or bust. This is it right here. So we're looking forward to this. This is gonna be fun. And I think the talent across the entire landscape is just different this year. I feel like last year you kind of had not it wasn't inevitable, but Cornell and CJ Kearse, everyone was like, this is the team to do it. I think there's a lot of teams that could win it this year. I mean, you look at Virginia's emergence, you look at Syracuse's kind of destiny thing, and then you look at how dominant Princeton and Notre Dame have been. I think it's wide open. I think you could see five, six, seven teams that have a legit chance to win it. And so it's a lot of fun. I think we're set up for a great finale here.
makes it exciting. That's exactly what Quint Kark and Anish said on the selection show earlier today. It's you never know what's going to happen, especially in college lacrosse, and especially this year. It's going to be a fun one. We always love talking lacrosse. We'll be here through the rest of Syracuse's postseason run. So make sure to tune in to the Ostrom Avenue podcast wherever you get your podcast or on WAER.org. Also, just one more reminder: Syracuse plays Yale Sunday in the Dome at 5. Coverage starts at 4:30, goes up until 8:30 with a double overtime. So make sure to tune into that. Again, Ostrom Avenue Podcast, wherever you get your podcast or on WAER.org. Thanks so much for listening. Griffin and Josh, we'll catch you next week.